We may indeed say that our Lord loved everyone. He gave himself for us, sacrificed his life to save us. And now the question for us is whether we also love him with all our heart. If we love him, as his word says, if you love me, you will keep my word. That's it. May God grant us grace, not only to talk about it, not only to sing about it, but to do what he has commanded us in his word. Before we pray, let's read Psalm 146 together. Psalm 146 begins with a hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Oh, how aptly this psalmist speaks here. And we know that it's really like that. But then it says in verse 5, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looses the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Hallelujah. This is a glorious psalm. And blessed is every man who puts his hope in the Lord. For we know that there is no other hope, but he alone is the true hope, the true peace, and the true happiness, and the true salvation. And so again tonight, we are grateful that we can be here to worship. Let us rise and worship together. Faithful Lord, we thank you with all our hearts for the privilege that you have made us worthy to come into your presence and to worship you as the only one who is worthy. You have taken the book into your hands. You have broken the seals. You have revealed the mysteries. We believe it. We even know when it happened. In March 63. My God, if unbelievers would hear that, they would think we were out of our minds. And yet we thank you for such a great privilege, for your people share in what you do. We do not preach past you, O Lord. We do not sing past you. We have experienced that you are faithful, that you keep your word. And when everything falls apart, you remain our confidence. As the song goes, We thank you tonight for Golgotha. O Lord, when our brother read the word, then it's all over with their plans. Faithful Lord, when you gave up your spirit, your plan was realized. O God, how great thou art, how marvelous are your works and your ways with your people. Let us recognize your way with us in these days. We lay before you all who are close to us. Lord, you know those who are yours, and we have only one request. Come into your own and finish your work unto the day of your glorious return. You alone know what this may involve. We are at your disposal. May your precious blood cover us all. May your word be our guide and a light on our path. And may your spirit lead us, truly lead us. O Lord, we have many petitions on our hearts this evening, for the sick, for the weak, for the weary and burdened. I especially remember the sister who called early this morning, who has not come for years. May you have mercy on her, Lord, and touch her. Great God, everything passes you by, even earthly hardship, even illness. It does not come from you, but it passes you by before it hits us. We remember all those who have heard your word in this place. We cannot help but lay them before you. We lay ourselves on your altar and pray for all equally. No one is better or worse, at an advantage or a disadvantage. You alone are God, and you alone are able to help. As you have revealed your word to us, so reveal to us your power that accompanies your word. And let the time of the spoken word come, so that we don't make a fool of ourselves and bring shame to your name, but that you come into your own and are honored. That is what I long for. Lord, I want to witness the book of Acts being repeated, that the end will be like the beginning. We are here today to pray. That is why we are doing it, Almighty God. And because you answer prayers, that is why we come to you. We are not here to pass on knowledge, my God. We are here to recognize your will, to worship, to have fellowship with you, to find this connection to you. Hallelujah. We are here to experience the Day of Atonement, the great Day of Atonement, when the trump of God is blown and your people is called together for a feast. O God, you know the cry of our souls. We also remember the sister in hospital and the brother who is helpless. My God, may your mercy break through and your goodness and kindness be revealed. And if it is because of our unbelief, condemn the unbelief, but not the one who is afflicted by it. O Lord, you did not come to condemn sinners, but sin. O God, that we could just discern it. Lord, you know, I don't feel like talking, and neither do any of us. We want you to reveal yourself, and that it is manifested, that it happened. Again, we ask you, just as here, in this place, on that day, the cross and reconciliation were removed, and hatred and enmity were lifted up, that the faces were darkened and turned to the ground, so may you truly lift up the cross and reconciliation in our midst and in the lives of everyone. Lord, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, representing Satan, who was judged, so may you be exalted in our midst. You who judged Satan and sin, but acquitted and pardoned sinners, and then led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men. O Lord, our innermost being is moved, and therefore we cry out to you. Truly, the deep calleth unto the deep. O God, bless us this evening. We also lay everything before you that may move us. We sit or stand here, and we are troubled by unanswered questions, unresolved problems, and all kinds of things that move us. O Lord, my God, let the hour come when everyone receives their answer from you under the proclamation that you could speak to us as a father speaks to his children. We have put our all into your cause, Almighty God, and you will give us all that you have prepared for us. O Lord, to you be praise, honor, and glory, and worship, forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. How good it is for us when we can talk to the Lord as a friend talks to his friend. With a true friend, you can exchange hearts and thoughts. And even if they have become few, they are still there. And the same applies to all brothers and sisters. And God will come into his own, despite everything that may happen on earth. And we know that our faith does not hang in the air, It is built on the rock, anchored in the Word of God. And those who cannot believe God, who should or will they believe? We do not believe in ourselves. We believe in God. We do not believe empty promises. We believe His Word and His promises. Faith in God is faith in what He has promised. We are grateful that we can be here again tonight. Grateful for all of you. Perhaps it would do us good to say this from the front. We are grateful for every brother and sister. And we are happy when you are well, and we are sad when you are not. That is how it is with all of us, because we are united in the love of God. I'll give you an example of an earthly kind. When I heard that our dear brother and sister had opened a restaurant, probably in Duisburg, I'm not sure, I was simply delighted. I was happy inside. The brother from Palermo and our sister from Sweden, I think Brother Nino and Sister Margaret, are these your names? I was so genuinely delighted. I can't tell anyone. You can all sympathize with that. And I think especially of people who have moved here, all the difficulties with offices, with everything. Then they come to hear the word. Then there is a German who is preaching. Other Germans have treated them in the offices, who knows how. Then the struggle is in the heart. And then you are all the more happy when you are doing well. May God bless you. May God bless everyone. If I could, I would start a business tomorrow. Yes, sir. Believers must keep both feet on the ground until the Lord comes. Most of them go on a springboard and think they will go up, and when they jump, they will be right back down again. Blessed is the man who can do that. Work until I come, saith the Lord. Stay sober, hold fast to prayer. Not being sober and setting times and whatever goes with it is foolishness in the eyes of God. And at some point, also in the eyes of men. I have certainly given greetings from Finland, from Lyon, and now also from Zurich. We rejoiced on Sunday. Every time God gives us a glorious word, every word is glorious, but sometimes He makes it a little greater and a little more important and illuminates it a little more beautifully. And then we rejoice all the more that He will come into His own. We have unreserved faith in Him. The one who hasn't said anything here for a long time is Brother Winsky. Do you have a few words that burn? Not just that you have to light first, but that burn. If so, then come. What a marvelous testimony of the grace of God. I am convinced that God has done more in many, many hearts than is sometimes visible on the outside. And when Paul says, we have the heavenly treasure in earthen vessels, then that is true. I said this here recently. The vessels can be made of clay, but if they are filled with treasure, that's what matters. It could be a vessel made of gold, and if there is nothing precious in it, what is the vessel for? Just vessels, holy Master, but filled with your power, as the song goes. Two or three thoughts came to me, one from Amos 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they agree? And that is a wonderful thought. First, the two must meet, and then they must become one, and then they can walk the same path. If we want to walk with God, we have to have an encounter with Him. We have to meet Him, become one with Him, and then walk the same path with Him. And there is more. Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord has not done it? We hardly come to terms with that, but that's the way it is. And that boils down to the fact that no one can, should, or may deal with God, because everything must first pass God. But then the powerful words are written, God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. And then these marvelous words follow. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? And then it struck me how marvelous the sequence is. The lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome. He has taken the book, He has uttered His voice, and the Lord God has spoken to us through His revealed word. Who can but prophesy? Not that someone should come and say, I am a prophet. No, that is foolishness. What is meant by this is, who should not pass on the prophetic word, the thus saith the Lord? God does not need a multitude of prophets. God needs a multitude of people who can pass on what He has revealed to His prophets without adding or taking away the slightest thing. And that is a great grace from God. From this you can recognize that there are people on earth who have been set limits, God's limits. And within these divine boundaries, they must go, they must remain, they must persevere until the hour of God has struck. You all know the word of the Lord, which we have often read, as the Lord said at that time, your time is always. The time of men is always. They always know what should be done and where there is a lack and so on. But the Lord says, my hour has not yet come. And that is our attitude with full conviction, not to rush ahead of God, but also not to lag behind, if possible. It is on my heart that God is giving a day that He has made, not that we make, that He has made a surprise for His people. In connection with reconciliation, I had to think of the words of Paul, who said, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And you know that if you have a ministry, you have to carry it out properly. And I thought, oh, some may now get the idea that it's not written like this. But we know the Bible well enough and know that's what it says. Let's just see where it is written. 2 Corinthians 5, I think, is the main passage. Here it says, from verse 18, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Does anyone have a Luther translation here? What does it say in this passage? Verse 19 says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Committed unto us the word of reconciliation, the word of the cross, of reconciliation, of forgiveness, of grace, of salvation, is not an empty word. It is a word that harbors the power of God to bring about what is proclaimed in the individual. Verse 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Brother Branham once emphasized this scripture in particular. Not only that we have been justified before God, but that we might become God's righteousness itself, the righteousness of God itself, not only justified by God, but be made the righteousness of God in him. That is how deep the work of redemption goes. That's how far the reconciliation that took place at Calvary goes. That it entails God for you and me. Just read it. And if I ever have too much time, I will also find the passage where Brother Branham emphasizes it. Read with me slowly. "For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Not only justified, but having become God's righteousness itself in Christ. This is the revelation of true redemption, to which you and I can add nothing more, but that we recognize by faith we have become God's righteousness in Christ. We have become partakers of God, whether you believe it or not. Just as God took on flesh and blood in Christ and became like us, and our Lord was found in the likeness of men and was tempted in all things, but without sin. So through him, who had the form of God, but took on human form, we have been brought back into the form of God. And we have the certainty in our hearts that we are children of God. Children of God are sons and daughters of God. just as he became the Son of Man for the sake of mankind, we have become sons and daughters of God through him. Then it becomes the gospel again. Then it becomes good news. Also for you. Also for you. And for those who still have inner doubts and have to struggle with them. Doubt, your doubts, but not God and God's word. As surely as God was in Christ and reconciled the world to himself and did not impute our trespasses and sins to us, but pardoned us and reconciled us to himself and committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. At some point, the term "all will be reconciled" came up. In the last few days, I somehow don't remember it like I used to 20 years ago, but I really liked this term, not in the context in which a certain denomination sees it, that under the so-called all reconciliation, the devil is also saved in the end. I did not and will not believe in such an all reconciliation. When I hear the word "all will be reconciled" ringing in my ears, then I believe that the Almighty must and will allow reconciliation, as it happened on Calvary, to take place among all his children. Wouldn't that be nice? I would like it. It would be good for everyone. Where would everything else lead? As Paul writes, discord and the like. No, we must now familiarize ourselves with the idea that God wants to move forward with us. And when I say us, I don't just mean those who come to worship here, but with us as his people. But it must also be said again, for the sake of divine order, that in the kingdom of God, everything must go the way the Lord wants it to. That not everyone can do what they want, when they want, and where they want, but that God sets into the church to reveal his harmony in all and through all. Similar to when he took from the spirit of Moses and laid on the 70, the same spirit was given to everyone for the same thing, no matter what any of them did. They did it in the same spirit. If the same Spirit of God that rested upon Christ, the same Spirit of God that was upon all the prophets and upon all the apostles, and in these days, without any doubt, rested upon Brother Branham in a great measure. If this same Spirit, namely the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, can rest on all of us, then we will all have the nature of Jesus. It is not possible otherwise. You cannot gather grapes of thorns. It's impossible. And you cannot draw sweet or bitter from one fountain. I am thinking of the fountain of which our Lord spoke when he spoke of the Spirit who would come upon all who would believe him. He said, "The water that I will give will become in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life." This springing up of this divine fountain is what we need. And this can only happen when the Spirit of God descends and fertilizes the seed of the Word, causing it to burst forth into new life. For God always gives both His Word and His Spirit. If He has given His Word and then His Spirit, then what has been said in the Word must just be brought to life by the Spirit. This is shown most clearly in the creation account. The Spirit of God hovered over the deep, and God spoke. And under the work of the Spirit, every word became reality. God spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Where the Spirit of God can descend and come down and is not grieved, but can work, God's word must come true. There's no other way. God said it, and we believe it, just as He said it. Let us take to heart what was read to us in the psalm and what Brother Winski emphasized so beautifully. God has placed us on higher ground, not so that we look down on others, but so that we have a better view of spiritual things. For we know from where God has taken us and brought us. Who do we want to look down on? No, the higher ground is really there to help us see things more clearly and better. We can confidently say that God's prophets were placed on this higher ground. They could see centuries and millennia ahead. But then, again there were people who were on earth, upon whom the Spirit of God came, who then had their eyes opened in their day to see what God was doing in their day. Now just this emphasis from, what was it? Psalm 140, am I right? Psalm 146. Here was a wonderful thought that I wanted to emphasize. Yes, that was it here. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. On the very day, it's over. On the very day, finished. It's all over. The great plans that someone has are finished and over the moment he gives up his breath. As I said earlier in prayer, when our Lord gave up the Spirit, God's great plan became reality. That was not the end of God's plan. That was when the realization of God's plan began. And our Lord says in the prophet Isaiah, "My plan shall come to pass, and I will do all my pleasure." And I trust God to do that. I trust God that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and that He will be glorified among His people. And I believe that we will have our part in this. God's plan will be realized, and we want to be included in this end-time plan of God. The Lord looses the prisoners. That's what we read here. He brings justice to the oppressed, gives bread to the hungry. Our hope is in Him. Our hope is in the Lord our God, in Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in it, who keepeth truth forever. When God says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, then this is true. Then that is true, yesterday, today, and for all eternity. Everything God says is yes and amen. It is true. We have absolutely no reason to despair. On the contrary, we have reason to rejoice. The joy may not be exuberant, and we don't want manufactured joy either. We don't want artificial light, artificial warmth. We don't want an artificial atmosphere. But we don't want to remain silent either. We are here to open our mouths and to offer the Lord our debt of thanksgiving for what He has done for us. I think it's song number 7 that we could sing every time. Lord, You have done great things for us here. Rejoicing on the ash heap, we worship You. Let me say one more thought. If there is something wrong with a person, he will always be convinced of himself that he is right. And if a person is right but has difficulties, the enemy will always come and say, you are not really a believer. Have you even experienced conversion? What's wrong with you anyway? Every time the enemy comes with all these doubts and attempts, then thank God that it is so. Because if he had no reason to do so, he wouldn't do it at all. He leaves the people he has alone. He conducts the choir there. No. Where he wants to spread temptations and doubts and almost destroy our faith, there God has already done something, and God will do even more. The others go through this life almost without trials. And I would like to be able to count all the people who have done well in life and who have always been above the clouds. And I have quietly thought or said, those who have not yet had to go through anything will still have to go through it. Those who have not yet had any trials will still have them. That's how it is. If you were to ask today, after many years, that's how it turned out. But thanks be to the Lord for all trials, for everything. It is for our good, because He has loved us, and we can love Him. Even today, we stand on higher ground. He has placed us on this foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ Himself is the cornerstone. What a privilege to live in this generation. What a privilege to know the will of God. Yes, to know God. And to have truly received the revelation of Jesus Christ. What a privilege to have heard the mysteries of God. What a privilege to be able to believe in this way, even now, as the scriptures have said. And it will remain so, with God's help, until the end. To whom God is gracious, he will believe to the end, as the scripture says. And that's why no one can be angry with me if I don't believe anything that is said or done after Brother Branham's departure. No, when it is written, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, then it's as true for me as any other word. I have to believe according to the scriptures. And if I only make the claim and don't do it, then I'm deceiving myself. Let us believe in every point, as the scripture says, and God will be with us. Amen. Let us stand and give thanks to the Lord. In short prayers, please. Heavenly Father, from our hearts we thank you together that we may stand in your holy presence, and that for what happened on Golgotha. Faithful Lord, there was an encounter with you, O God. You were in Christ, and we were in Christ. And there was the encounter on the cross. I thank you for that. And from then on, we walk together. Before that, you went our way. And since then, we may go your way. Almighty God, who can believe it? You bore our shame, our sins, took the curse upon yourself, and were crowned with a crown of thorns for mockery. Lord, it was for our sake. Yes, you were made sin and became a curse, for cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. O my God, and from Golgotha began a new path, a new life. Hallelujah. For all the reconciled, beloved Lord, fulfill my one wish, that I might lead all the redeemed to you, the Redeemer, that they may penetrate and come under the cross, so that you may glorify yourself. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. It is so wonderful, so marvelous, and we may experience it. There would be much to say. You have revealed yourself to us. You have made your word and your will known. Take us now, beloved Lord, that we may walk in step with you, agree with you, O God. As our dear sister prayed, life from your life, word from your word, from God, only God and the divine can come forth. Hallelujah. Everything comes forth after its kind. It will be revealed at your return that we will be transformed into your image and may be like you. Thank you for the shed blood. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Again, I ask you, for the sake of all needs, that you commit the ministry of reconciliation to your servants, that we may carry out our ministry and fulfill all that belongs to it, that sinners may be saved, that the sick may be healed, that the burdened and possessed may be set free. Give us the gift of revelation. Give us the gift of discernment. Oh, give us grace that we may fulfill the whole ministry to the praise and glory of your name. Thank you that we may stand on higher ground. Lord, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. You are close to us. You are present. Everything is divine reality. Glory to your wonderful name. As has been prayed, bless this weekend. We come here empty every time, but want to be filled by you. Worship and glory be to you. Bless also our brother from Palermo. Bless all. Oh my God, may you give us back the first love, Lord. Restore all that has been lost all these years. O God, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, Amen.